WildTalkRadio.com.
Hey, this is Trish Stratus.
This is Showtime Eric Young.
This is your favorite knockout, Tara.
This is WWE superstar, The Miz.
It's me, DDP, and you're listening to The Rock of Song.
Stratisfaction is guaranteed.
It's time to experience the award-winning The Rack.
Since I have been on this earth, I have done a lot of horrible things to a lot of good people. And I'm man enough to admit when I am in the wrong. And I was wrong about you, Brian. I viewed you as this minuscule little creature chasing this uphill war that you could never win. I saw you busy chasing your little girly friend around on television, buying a diamond. How long are you willing to live this life? How long until they discover that your dirty little feet are soiling their red carpet?
Covering all the latest in the WWE.
Oh, did someone not get what they wanted? Oh, that's too bad.
And TNA.
Being a scientist is really starting to pay off. A lot of people don't know about that, but being a scientist and being a pro wrestler at the same time, hypothesis, conclusion, same thing. He's the best, and I'm getting to the bottom of it. I'm like Sherlock Holmes. Sherlock Holmes was half detective, half scientist. He's science to figure out cases. Maybe when I get done with pro wrestling, I can be like the new Sherlock Holmes, but in real life, where I solve cases using my science.
With your host, Lindsay Ward.
Look at me, woman.
Oh my God, it's Taker, 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 Taker. Does Taker hate me? Oh my God, it's Taker.
And her producer, Sir Rockin.
If you smell la 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 la, what the sock is cooking?
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
We're here.
Rihanna. Good girl going bad. Take three.
No clouds in my stones.
Let it rain, I hide your plane in the bank. Coming down like a Dow Jones.
When the clouds come, we gone.
We Rockefeller, we fly higher than weather. And cheap vibes are better. You know me, in anticipation for precipitation. Stack chips with a rainy day. Jay, Rain Man is back. With Little Miss Sunshine, Rihanna, where you at?
You have my heart, and we'll never be worlds apart. Maybe in magazines, but you still be my star. Baby, cause in the dark, you can't see shiny cars. And that's when you need me there. With you, I'll always share.
And welcome to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com. Brought to you, of course, by our friends over at Memorabilia Lane. That's right, memlanepromo.com for all your memorabilia needs. If you're joining us for the first time, or if you haven't listened in a while, yes, I am still the horse. I am, of course, Lindsay Ward, which I still can't talk. And joining me, as always, is my ever misbehaving, ever pain in the butt producer, Sir Rockin.
Hey, hey, hey. Umbrella. I figured it was fitting for tonight.
It's totally fitting for tonight. And oh my God, do we have a packed show tonight.
We do have a jammed, packed, stupendous show for everyone this evening here live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
We've got news. We've got discussions. We're going to be talking all about tonight's exciting impact. We're going to be reviewing Lockdown, which happened this past Sunday. And of course, we're also going to be giving our review of NXT, but that's not all, because, you know, once again, we're bringing you another interview.
We are.
How did this happen? It's just like back-to-back-to-back interviews.
We are a show full of interviews, and if you think we're stopping tonight, I'll wait till later in the show till we tell you what's happening next week.
Yep, we're not done. But wait, folks, there's more.
There's
but
more.
For this week, we are super excited because we had the esteemed privilege of talking to wrestling royalty. We got to talk to the one, the only Natty Neidhart, and she told us all about season 2 of Total Divas, and I can't wait for you guys to hear it. It was such a blast to absolutely talk to her, and she's just a lot of fun.
She is a lot of fun. She is awesome. She is the Heart Dungeon Diva herself, and she has some choice words for one samurai that you'll want to hear in just a little bit.
Yes, she does. But before we get to those words, and before we get to the Natty interview, we should really tell the people what the question of the night is.
And the question of the night is this simple. If you can drop WWE superstars into any cartoon out there, what cartoon would you like to see them in?
Ooh. Yes, this is kind of a hit for what we're talking about later in the show, because a certain cartoon got possibly leaked, and we might or might not be discussing it later. So tune in and listen to that.
Yeah. You're not going to want to miss what we have to say about certain things later in the program.
Yes, absolutely. So tune in, listen. But for now, let's jump right into news brought to you, of course, by our friends over at PWMania.com for all your news needs. And, well, we kind of got to start with the biggest news of all, which, of course, spoiler alert, is that Carlos Colon is being inducted into the Hall of Fame.
Yes, yes, he is. It was announced on Friday Night SmackDown, which is why there is this whole spoiler alert thing. That Carlos Colon is going into the WWE Hall of Fame, which, like, there's been so many rumor names, and he wasn't one of them. It caught me out of the blue.
Oh, it was. Well, it's a nice surprise, and it's definitely well-deserved, so hopefully that means we'll get to see Primo and Carlito induct their father into the Hall of Fame.
I would assume so, but does Primo actually still work for the company?
He's still on the roster page.
Oh, is he? Okay, cool. I wasn't aware. It's been a while. It's been a while since I've seen Primo in action.
You know, I think he took a trip to Spain. I don't know.
Did he go running with the Bulls?
I think he did go running with the Bulls. Maybe we need to talk to El Torito about that.
Do you speak Bull?
I don't speak Bull, but I speak, you know, Mas Luchador. That might help.
So you've been taking lessons from John Cena. Gotcha.
I have.
Gotcha.
I have.
I get you now. Okay. Good to know.
Yes.
Anyway.
Nobody. Oh, the only two people in the room that get that entire exchange. Awesome.
Yeah, I know, right?
So congratulations to Carlos Colon. Definitely well-deserved. Other Hall of Fame news includes that, well, Warrior announced who's inducting him into the WWE Hall of Fame, and much to everyone's surprise, it's Linda McMahon.
Wait. It isn't. What's his name? What's his name? What's his name?
No, it seems what's his name, or at this point, I guess he who shall not be named times two, is not inducting Warrior at this time, at least. For now, it is, in fact, Linda McMahon that will be doing the honors. So, that's pretty cool.
I can't remember. Has Linda McMahon ever inducted anyone to the Hall of Fame?
Not that I can recall.
I don't remember her ever inducting someone. So, her coming out,
I know Steph has.
Steph has.
I know Vince has.
Yeah, Vince has as well.
Shane hasn't.
But I don't remember if Linda has. I don't think there was anyone. But it's cool. Linda's... I guess technically, if this is all accurate and this came from Warrior on Twitter, this would be the first official role she's had with WWE since running for her campaigns.
Yes. Well, she is officially with the company in a family capacity, but she has had no official job title with the company since she left to run for office.
Right. She hasn't had any full involvement with it, so this would be her first official involvement with the company since then.
And this is, I think, her first public appearance since she ran for office, isn't it?
But I believe she was at the Hall of Fame last year, I think.
Well, she's at the Hall of Fame every year. I mean, she's there because it's a family event, so she's there every year, but...
Possibly this might be her first appearance that we've at least come across.
Yes. I know she's done, like, small stuff, but I think this is her first major public appearance since losing the Senate, right? Because she's been fairly quiet recently, so...
She has been fairly quiet. It's unusual for McMahon to be quiet about anything, but she's been very quiet.
She has been very quiet. But speaking of keeping it quiet, or not so much, Stacy Keibler got married.
Yeah, she did. She got married over the weekend. She was dating this guy since July, I believe.
Over the summer, yes.
I can't, the name escapes me off the top of my head, so... Do you remember the name of the dude she's married to?
No. Sadly, I don't. If you stall long enough, I could probably Google it.
Yeah. But anyway, she just got married over the weekend. People reported it. And, well, there's another rumor surrounding her as well, and that's possibly that she's pregnant.
Which would explain the quick wedding.
It would explain the quote-unquote shotgun wedding that happened over the weekend. That many of her friends were like, huh? What? What now?
Yeah, it was really surprising because it broke all over the place over the weekend. And it's like, wait, what?
Right? It's like, huh? What the hell? She got married? That was quick. Because the big thing over the summer was that she was getting separating from George Clooney, who she was dating for the longest time. And, well, so this one sort of came out of nowhere, like an RKO. She began dating future ad CEO Jared Pobre, something like that.
Yes.
So they got married on March 8th, and she's apparently with child, supposedly, but that's not confirmed. The New York Post was reporting that. And there's other rumors that another former diva's knocked up at the moment, but that hasn't been confirmed, no. But these divas or former divas are getting knocked up.
Well, I mean, yeah. They're in their 30s. Yeah. It won't be too long until some current divas probably end up with child. I wouldn't be the least bit surprised. I mean, it's just something of a lot of these women have moved on and they've gotten married, they've settled down. I believe Eve is with child too.
Is she?
I believe she is. I think she's pregnant.
See, that's another one. I didn't know about Eve.
Yeah, I believe Eve is pregnant, or she... I don't know if she's had the baby yet, because I remember seeing pictures of from her baby shower, so I don't think she's given birth yet, but she's very close.
No, she wasn't... Last time we saw her, she wasn't pregnant. I don't...
Yeah, well, but the last time we saw her... Last time we saw her was December?
Right.
That doesn't mean she wasn't pregnant, dude. She may not have been showing.
Then why would she have had the baby shower? Anyway.
You have the baby shower before you have the baby.
Not like 4 months prior.
Yeah?
I thought it was like a month or two before, not 4 months. Who does things 4 months?
You have it 4 months before. It's probably easier because she's not as big.
That's true. I'm not seeing anything about Eve Torres.
I mean, you imagine carrying another person inside you and see if you really want to go to a baby shower. Especially when you're like, when it's, 10 pounds.
That's true. But I don't see anything about Eve Torres pregnant, so I don't think that one. But Trish just gave birth, so that made Omega sad.
But she had such a beautiful son. He has the most amazing eyes.
Everyone follow TrishStratus.com on Twitter, by the way.
Yes. And go back and listen to our interviews with her.
Because it's award-winning.
Because it is award-winning. So, speaking of award-winning and moving on from the pregnancy topic, WWE and DK announced that they are celebrating 50 years of WWE with a brand new book being released. Unfortunately, I do not have the release date handy. It would be helpful if we had our stuff together.
DK publishes pleased to reveal WWE 50 celebrating 50 years of WWE history. WWE 50 delivers unprecedented in-depth look into the story of the global entertainment powerhouse, WWE. With the magnitude of interviews and imagery from all eras, no stone is left unturned as DK Publishing traces the evolution of the company from a regional promotion to the global pop culture phenomenon. This press release does not actually give a release date as of yet, but I believe it's coming soon. It talks about the split from the NWA, the sale of WWE to Vince McMahon by his father, the national expansion, WrestleMania, Raw, SmackDown, Survivor Series, and more. The triumph in the Monday Night Wars. In the press release, they used wars, but there was only one war because there was no S.
There's an S, damn it. It's on the teleprompter. It's capitalized. There is an S.
There is an S.
Monday Night Wars. Yeah.
Wars. Taking WWE public, plus getting an inside glimpse into WWE today as it prepares for another 50 years of nonstop family-friendly entertainment from the creator of the WWE Encyclopedia. WWE gives you the inside knowledge to become the ultimate WWE fan. So look for WWE 50 coming out very soon. I would expect it out around WrestleMania, I would assume.
Probably around WrestleMania or a little bit after, I would guess. Either way, it should be a really, really cool thing to see. If you haven't seen it, check it out. The WWE Encyclopedia, first and second editions, written, you know, by a good friend of the show, Brian Shields. There's your shameless plug, Brian. It's an absolutely amazing piece that's been put together by WWE and DK Publishing.
Go ahead. Finish.
And so I have little doubt that the 50th anniversary book will be good as well.
According to Amazon.com, WWE 50 will be released on March 31st.
Hey, there you go. A rack exclusive.
There you go. Thanks for your information. That's what a little Googling will do for you. We watched the W50 DVD, and that was good, so you can imagine what they did for a book. It's going to be awesome.
Yeah, I can't wait. I may have to go check this out.
Sounds like it's going to be a good read.
It should be a good read.
It's a good companion piece for the WWE Network.
Yes. Yes, it is, which if you haven't gotten it today, get it today. $9.99 a month for the first 6 months, $9.99 after that as well, and you get a week free. Download the WWE app. Ding!
Ding! The network is awesome. We sat here and we watched Raw Rewind last night. We got to see, once again, and Lindsay, for the first time, the Black Wedding.
I did. I got to see. Well, I have technically seen parts of the Black Wedding, but it's always been a really, really low, crappy quality. I think I actually did find it once in its entirety, but it was something of, again, it was just such crappy quality that you couldn't really hear or see much. Mm-hmm. So it was really awesome to see that whole episode that led up to the Black Wedding and what it actually was. And now I'd love to kind of see, like I told Rock, when the network debuted, one of the things that I really want to go back and watch is the Ministry of Darkness era for Taker, because that was something I never got to see. I want to watch that, and I want to watch the actual Kane and Taker feud, the whole thing, because, again, that is also something I never got to see, because I wasn't watching then.
Right.
So, and at least for the Ministry of Darkness, they don't really touch on it on Taker's career. Like, the Ministry and the American Badass years are sort of the lost years for Taker, because Taker didn't like the Ministry gimmick, and Vince supposedly didn't like the American Badass gimmick. So they kind of, and there are also people involved that are no longer married to people in that time.
Nice way around that one.
Thank you. And so, so they kind of gloss over that and don't, and just kind of edit out what they can and then use the rest. So yeah, I can't wait for them to get all of that up so I can see it all. Because that will be really cool to watch.
Yeah, and every week there's a Raw Rewind, there's a Best of SmackDown that's up. I guess it's Best of Raw, Best of SmackDown. This week on Best of SmackDown coming up is Kurt Angle and Brock Lesnar in an Iron Man match from SmackDown, which should be really good.
Yes.
Kind of actually looking forward to that on Saturday. It should be fun to watch. So, but they throw a lot of stuff on the WWE Network. We watched parts of WrestleMania 26 on Sunday?
I think in between the two watchings of it, I saw the entire thing. I know we watched 25.
And we watched the main event of 26. And I've seen different parts of 26 on the network since then.
Yeah, it's like they replay the same thing every 3 to 4 hours. So they just replayed 26 right after it had aired. So I saw the first, I think, hour of it before I eventually fell asleep. So yeah, I mean, it's we didn't mean to turn this into a network show, but if you don't have the network, if you're interested in getting the network, trust me,
it's worth
the money. Because they have so much stuff on there. It's like, you know, you have pay-per-view on demand that you can watch anytime you want. You have Raw, you have SmackDown, you have Main Event, you have Superstars, you have NXT. You get all their programming on demand.
Speaking of that, I'm going to sidetrack again. We watched Main Event was on last night. It's live, on Tuesday night, rather, live on the network. AJ Lee and Natalya, our guests coming up here in a couple minutes, had a fantastic women's match on, or divas match, whatever you want to call it, on television. One of the better women's matches I've seen in a long time.
Oh, and they got loads of time for it. And you know who else had a great match? It's Mark Henry and Dean Ambrose.
Mm-hmm.
That was a fantastic match as well. And that's a great thing about Main Event going on the network is, one, we actually get to see it.
Right, we all have Ion, but it's like, can you find Ion? And it's like, it's remembering it, but when you hear it's live, and it's live, and it's live, keyword is live, it makes you actually want to tune in.
Yeah, it's cool that you, it still airs, I believe, on Ion, but it's something of, you can, you know, it's like you turn it on, and you have it on, and you can watch it, and I'm probably going to get in trouble for this, but it's like one morning I went and I had to go into work early because we were doing some changes at work. Or I work in IT. They were doing upgrades. So I had to be in work early to make sure all those went fine. So I just literally took my computer with me, you know, because I take my computer every day, turned on the network and just turned down the volume and had the network playing in the background. And I literally had it up for the first 4 hours that I was there, and it really helped to pass the time because it was something of, it's just in the background. I mean, granted, yeah, I can listen to music, but you know what? I can also turn on the WWE Network, and they were playing WrestleMania 1 in its entirety on the network, so I got to see WrestleMania 1, the full thing, which I had never seen before. They have a Q&A with Renee that they do that they play early in the morning. I mean, it's, and then it's like they played either Superstars or Main Event, so it's something of, they have live content always going. So it's like if you're just bored and you need background music, you can turn it on. And they've always got something on. Like I had it playing this afternoon as I was just kind of doing stuff around the house, and they had before NXT, and they had an old WCW on, which I've never seen.
World Class Championship Wrestling, yeah. Awesome.
And it was you know, Michael Hayes and the Von Erichs and all that kind of stuff was on there. So it's really cool.
Yeah, the network's awesome, and it's one of those things where there's always something on, and always something to watch, and so that's a good thing about it. Again, this wasn't a network show, but by the WWE Network, because it's got our stamp of approval.
Yes. So, sorry for the shameless shill. So sorry. It's just, we can't stop raving about the network. I love it. I know he loves it, too. It's just, it's like I said, if you're curious about it, at least to me, it's worth the money just to get the pay-per-views, just to get NXT, just to get a lot of the programming that you don't normally see. And you get shows like Countdown as well, where it's like you get these really cool out-of-character interviews where people say the most amazing things that you would never see on WWE programming because they can't get away with it.
No, they can't.
With the Raw, you know, with the Best of SmackDown and the Best of Raw, you get those shows completely unedited. And when I say completely unedited, I mean completely unedited. He Who Shall Not Be Named number one appeared on the network on the very first Best of Raw that we saw. Mm-hmm. Just pointing that out.
Mm-hmm.
Never mind the blood gushing from Taker's head. Later in the show, we saw Chris Benoit. So that goes to show that pretty much everything is making it to the network. They're editing very little of it, which is really cool.
Yeah, they even throw in the old commercials. Last night there was
Oh my god, the Chef Boyardee commercial. Dear god, that was scary.
The Mick Foley Chef Boyardee commercial from Mankind. Yeah. They keep them in there. It's awesome. It's the WWE Network, and eventually, Tim, in Canada, you will get the network. Eventually.
Yes, eventually. I'm sure Canada is next on the list.
You would assume, but again, they for years were on a delay for Raw.
This is true. This is very true. And we know Canadians don't like Americans, so.
No, apparently they don't.
At least that was my experience with customs. But anyway, moving on, because we did a shameless shill of the network, so sorry about that if anybody's still listening. We can't stop ranting and raving about it.
And tangent back to the show.
Yeah, show, rails, let's get back on the show. And our last bit of news, it seems that Kane, a.k.a. Glenn Jacobs, is veering in a different direction. It seems he's taking a lot of new paths. You know, the director of operations was simply just the start for him, and it came out that he and his wife have created their own insurance agency called the Jacobs Agency.
Yeah.
Which is based out of Knoxville, Tennessee. Mm-hmm. And what do they cover, Rock?
Oh, they're covering everything. Retirement. Anything you could possibly need, they will cover at the Jacobs Agency. It's just like, I've already seen a meme of all of his different characters regarding the Jacobs Agency. It's like, well, I'll be damned. it's actually happening. So it's like, But yeah, you can get everything from them. We are committed to help protect you and your family's uncertainties. Not only do we offer a full line of quality insurance products, auto, home, motorcycle, RV, boat, life, and commercial insurance, we plan your retirement as well. We don't sell you a policy and then forget about you. When you need us, we'll be there.
That's pretty awesome. So it looks like maybe he's starting to phase out of wrestling a little bit and look towards the future himself. And
yeah. You can go to jacobsagencytn.com for all information if you're in that area, in the Tennessee area.
Yes, please don't harass him. Please don't bother him. Please leave him be.
Don't tweet him constantly. Don't DM him. Don't say, oh my God, anyway. I'm going
to
stop now.
You just had to say that, didn't you? You just had to throw that out there.
Yup. You can't control me.
Yes, I know.
But yeah, go to Jacob's Agency, JacobsAgencyTN.com for all the information regarding the new Jacob's Agency. And, you know, he's not leaving wrestling because, well, the money's too good.
Yeah. Hey, you know what? Make it while you can, because once you can't make it anymore, then, well, you better hope you save, which I'm pretty sure he's saved. He's a pretty smart guy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So anyway, anything else in the news this week?
I think that does it. So on that note, folks, we are going to kick it to our first break of the evening. We're going to have one more than usual, so, well, just deal with it. And when we come back, we are going to be talking to the one, the only Natty Neidhart. So you're not going to want to miss that. So you're listening to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we will be right back.
That whispering in the trees, it's two sitters and they're only pipes and chains and swinging hands. Who's your daddy? Yes, I am. Fat cat came to play, now you can't run fast enough. You best stay away when the pushers come to shove. Zoot, zoot, Ryan, throw back a bottle of beer.
For one of the most popular stop-motion animation wrestling shows on the internet today, then check out Crash Collision Wrestling, created by the one and only Matt Goldberg. He's the director of Terrified and Pope Against All Odds. CCW is a stop-motion animation series featuring WWE and TNA stars, and it also happens to be endorsed by the likes of Elijah Burke, Hulk Hogan, and TNA Knockout Tara.
This is Tara from Impact Wrestling, and for the number one animated wrestling show, make sure you check out Crash Collision Wrestling, or else get slammed by moi.
Check out the show by logging on to youtube.com/mbg1211, and don't forget to like Crash Collision Wrestling on Facebook. Once again, check out Crash Collision Wrestling today.
Because everybody knows, much like Pope, CCW is pimping.
Do you feel a little bit empty inside after The Rack goes off the air on Thursday nights? Well, don't fret, because The Rack has a little something extra for you, in the form of The Rack Extra. Join us as we review the weekly happenings with your favorite Total Divas. From start to finish, we give you our reactions to all the relationship drama, the infighting, and all the trips to the plastic surgeon's office. Join us as we get all up in that Kool-Aid of the Total Divas with The Rack Extra. Weekly right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Trust me, it's simply thebomb.com.
Every Monday night, get caught up with everything that happens on Monday Night Raw with the Raw Post Show. From the big returns,
after 7 long years,
finally, The Rock has come back to Monday Night Raw!
To the shocking moment. And the moments that leave you speechless.
I grew up locked in a basement, suffering severe psychological and emotional scarring when my brother set my parents on fire. From there, I shifted around among a series of mental institutions until I was grown, at which point I buried my brother alive. Twice. Since then, I've set a couple of people on fire and abducted various co-workers. Oh, and I once electrocuted a man's testicles.
It's the Raw Post Show, Monday nights, 11:30 p.m. Eastern, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
I don't care what y'all say.
Hey, this is Trish Stratus, and you're listening to Wild Talk Radio Network. Keep listening, because Stratisfaction is guaranteed.
Welcome back to The Ramp right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to you, of course, by our friends over at Memorabilia Lane, MemLanePromo.com, for all your memorabilia needs. So, joining us on the line right now is one of the stars of Total Divas, which you can catch Sunday nights at 9 p.m. on E! She is true wrestling royalty. Everyone, please welcome the amazing Natalia to the rack. How are you this morning?
I'm doing great. Thanks so much for having me on.
Well, we're so happy to have you, and I know we don't have a lot of time because you're very, very busy, as you've got, you know, TV tonight, but I just have to know, because we've been seeing the teasers, and they're so tantalizing. Can you tell us about, you know, season 2 of Total Divas?
Yeah, well, first of all, the show kind of caught fire in season 1. It became extremely popular, and people just kind of got hooked on it, because it's such a fascinating show. It's our lives behind the scenes in WWE, and I mean, it's really, really entertaining because you've never really gotten the chance to see us in this light. But season 2, now that you've kind of gotten to know us from season 1, it's almost like people have become even more connected to us. They feel like that relationship or that bond with us from season 1. But season 2, I think, is even more dramatic than season 1. We have a new cast member. Her name is Summer. And she definitely stirs things up a little bit. I'm not going to reveal too much, but we have some issues that we certainly need to get sorted out, hoping that we can sort it out in a professional manner. Otherwise, she's going to get body slammed by me.
Well, hopefully it doesn't come to that, but we've seen the slap in the teasers, so I don't know.
Yeah, like I said, I never really wanted it to get that far, but of course, you know, she kind of brought it on herself. And now we're going full circle with it. So definitely people are excited to see it. And, you know, she's definitely somebody that, I really, really want to put the sharpshooter on every day. But, you know, like, the show is great because it gives people a chance to, you know, see that we're not perfect. And right. That's one of my favorite parts of doing Total Divas is that I am a perfectionist at heart. I'm a type A personality. I like to do everything. I like to have my ducks in a row, but this show has really shown me and taught me that no one is perfect, and women especially, you know, it's okay to show people that we make mistakes, that we're human, and that being human is part of what makes people feel connected to us, and it's part of our likability. And when I started to let go of those, you know, let those walls down and show people that I make mistakes, I'm not human, I have fears, I have insecurities, I laugh, I cry, you know, all that and everything in between, I think that's what's really the great thing about this show, is that you see these larger-than-life entities, and then on Total Divas, you can see that, you know what, we're really just like you.
Right. Absolutely. I agree with that. I'm just curious, are we going to get a sneak peek at your fabulous shoe collection? Anytime soon, because I know you have some awesome shoes.
I'm glad you brought that up, because that is really one of the most important things in my life, are my shoes. And I'm just kidding. But no, you know, the show is awesome because we get to wear lots of fabulous things, and of course myself and Nikki Bella, we love high fashion and dressing up and that sort of thing. So, but I'm telling you one thing, I get a lot of mileage out of my one pair of nude Christian Louboutin heels. I've probably worn those shoes like 200 times, so they were worth every penny.
Oh, I'm sure. You know, it's, they go with everything.
Of course.
They absolutely go with everything. So you mentioned that, you know, we get to see you as a real person, which of course you are a real person, and we appreciate that you have let us into your lives like this. And I'm curious, you know, with a full season of Total Divas under your belt, have you gotten more comfortable with the cameras now than maybe you had been before? I mean, was it a little awkward when you first started?
Well, I think that that's where the danger is that we get so comfortable in front of the cameras to the point where, like, I forget that cameras are around us. And so, of course, you know, it makes for great TV, but certainly there's times when, like I said, I forget the cameras are around us, and I'll be watching a commercial on TV for Total Divas, and I'm like, I don't even remember saying that. Well, I can't believe I did that. Or like, did I really say that? And then I'm watching it back going, oh, my gosh, like, I should have been more careful. But again, it's part of being human. It's part of being real. And it's like me or hate me, but this is who I am, so just accept me for that. And the group that we're working with E, they're so good. They're pretty much the best in the world at what they do. As far as reality TV goes, they're so professional that you really don't even know that they're there. And, you know, I end up making friends with the camera guys, and they, all of a sudden they're, you know, my cat loves them, and they're over sipping tea with me after the show. So it's fun, but at the same time, you know, we're still entertainers. We're still on TV. You know, I'm on my regular job with WWE is, you know, it's been life changing, and I'm always on TV with them too. So I get terrible stage fright, but at the same time, I understand too, like my job is in front of the camera. So I've really embraced it.
Yeah. And I can understand that. I mean, obviously it was a big adjustment for you. Was it difficult for TJ as well?
TJ is more shy than me. We're actually kind of the opposite. TJ is very focused on his in-ring ability, and I'm more of the ham. I've always been very outgoing and, you know, chatty Cathy, and I find myself doing autograph sessions where I, like, have 20-minute conversations with each person that's in line. And TJ's just very introverted and he's like a cat. I always compare TJ to being like a cat, because he's like, you really have to earn it with him. I'm like one of the dogs that runs up to the door and I'm like jumping on the owner, and TJ's like a cat that's like, you know what, beat it. You'll get attention from me when I'm ready to give you attention. So he's definitely adjusted, but he's having a lot of fun on the show too.
Oh, I bet. Now, we saw you go through a lot of ups and downs in season one. You know, you got married, and congratulations. I loved your dress, by the way. It was beautiful.
Thank you.
And, of course, you know, you lost Gizmo, which is a huge blow, but you guys adopted Louie, which is amazing.
Great.
So are things going to – I know you can't give a lot away, but are things going to maybe calm down for you in season two a little bit? Or, you know, obviously you've got the stuff with Summer, but can we expect a few other surprises for you?
Well, I hate to say this, but I think things are going to be heating up. I didn't plan for it to heat up so much, but Summer certainly has pushed my buttons in a lot of ways that I didn't expect. I thought I was past that, and yeah, so she definitely is going to be a new source of conflict for me. But you know, I like to think that our show is like the Golden Girls. We usually end up working it out. I have yet to work it out with Summer. So I'm hoping that at some point Summer and I can go to Starbucks and have a caramel macchiato together and just talk things out. Because right now we're not there yet.
Well, I would hope so. You know, you could sell it over caramel macchiato or maybe a cheesecake, since you said the Golden Girls.
Yeah, and, you know, I wouldn't mind. Like I said, Summer's got those abs and blonde hair, long legs, so I think she could use a little cheesecake.
I don't think a little cheesecake hurt anybody. And
no.
No, not at all. So, and like I said, I know we don't have a lot of time for you,
So, you know, just kind of one more question, and it's sort of our closing question that we ask everybody. So what's the strangest thing a fan has given you?
Ooh, good question. Gosh, I'm just trying to think here. The strangest thing a fan has given me. Well, I would have to say I get a lot of random gifts from them. I think somebody once wanted me to sign a baby carriage, and that was really odd. I mean, I don't mind signing a baby carriage. Signing body parts is another thing. You know, somebody wants me to sign their forearm. I'm thinking, are you going to get my tattoo, you know, your name tattooed on your forearm? But somebody did actually get my name tattooed on their forearm. And one of my other fans had gotten a picture of me tattooed on her back, of me, all over her entire back. So those are things that always surprise me. But I've yet to get anything like a dead animal in the mail or anything like that.
That's good.
I'm still waiting for that.
Oh, no. Who would send you a dead animal? That would be horrible.
Well, you know, you never know. Sometimes people, you know, find roadkill to be intriguing. But, you know, never anything like that. So I'm very fortunate. But, yeah, we do get a lot of strange things.
I can only imagine. Only imagine. Well, Daddy, thank you so much for your time this morning. I greatly appreciate it. And remember, everybody, you can catch the return of Total Divas this Sunday at 9 p.m. on E!
Yeah, thank you so much for your time. And I hope everybody tunes in and watches the show. And obviously, you know, WrestleMania is just weeks away. So there's a lot of drama leading up to that, too. So hopefully everybody catches that as well.
Once again, a big thanks to Natty, a big thanks to E, and of course a huge thanks to WWE. And you're listening to The Rock right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we'll be right everybody across the map, stand up, show the world, yo, where you at? Cause I'll never back down, I can never max out, yeah, I ain't giving up, no. Now I'm back on top, but it feels so good, oh yeah, I'm ready to blow. Cause you got one shot to show the whole world, so yeah, let's give them a show. Now I'm back on top, to top, to top, top, there ain't no stopping me, no.
Calling all pro wrestling fans, don't forget to check out PWMania.com. Again, the web address is PWMania.com. It's the best place on the internet today to get your late-breaking pro wrestling news and spoilers. We also have exclusive interviews, exclusive live results coverage of pay-per-views, rare photos, videos, divas, knockouts, and more. Exclusive writers, pro wrestler columns as well, where you can get a real insider's view of the world of professional wrestling. Bookmark it today, right now. It is PWMania.com.
Looking for the latest in all things TNA wrestling? Then look no further than TNAsylum.com. TNA Asylum keeps you up to date on all the happenings in TNA Wrestling, along with featured columns, full coverage of TNA-related events, and a first look on the behind-the-scenes events of TNA that you can't find anywhere else. Log on right now to the haven for TNA fans, TNAsylum.com.
This is the Godfather of Extreme, Rob Parks. Tune in every Saturday, midnight-ish, for CB Radio, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Celebrating 10 years of Wrestle Talk Radio.
Like our good buddy Homicide just said, hey man, you better believe the hype, you're listening to WTR Sunday night.
The very, kind of rhymes.
The very first show of 2006. Thank you all, everybody, for joining us on this most monumental of days. January the 1st, where Santa Claus goes and delivers his toys to the girls and boys around the world.
That was a week ago.
What? That was a week ago. What was a week ago?
Santa delivered his toys.
A week ago? But we entered a new year a week ago.
Okay.
Bad jokes go worse.
Obviously, we're not going to break that tradition in 2006.
Well, that would be a bad tradition to break. I mean, I wouldn't be me if I didn't crack a bad joke. Hey, you know.
But even bad jokes are supposed to be fun.
Who said? That's why they're bad.
Tune into the Live Special, Sunday night, March 23rd, 10 p.m. Eastern Time on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Everybody, this is Joseph Talk from Impact Wrestling, and you're listening to the Wild Talk Radio Network.
WildTalkRadio.com, brought to you, of course, by our friends over at Memorabilia Lane, MemElainePromo.com, for all your memorabilia needs. I hope everybody enjoyed the interview with Natty. I know we had a blast talking to her.
Natty is awesome. She is awesome, people. Make sure you watch Total Divas this Sunday, 9 p.m. Eastern and Pacific on E! And coming up tomorrow afternoon at some point, you can hear our preview of the upcoming season of Total Divas on the Rack Extra right here on Wild Talk Radio and RackRadioShow.com.
Yes, but now we're going to change gears. Because, well, we have a lot to talk about in the realm of, you know, Impact Wrestling, which this segment, of course, brought to you by our friends over at TNAsylum.com, the haven for TNA fans, because TNA, they had a pay-per-view this weekend.
They did have a pay-per-view over the weekend, which reminds me, hey, Kane Kins, where are the results from the pick'em? Huh? Huh? Never got any from you, bud. Huh? Slacker.
What? He didn't record the results?
I never received the results email. Slacker. I'm going to go search for the picks myself, but I never received a results email from him. He's a slacker. When he hears that, he's gonna kill me.
Kane Kittens, take a day off from work. Good Lord, man, you're gonna kill yourself. Anyway, moving forward, we're gonna kind of do this a little different. We're going to mix the lockdown results with Impact, so we're going to kind of tell you how everything ties in just for, you know, expediency's purpose. Because, well, we still got to talk about NXT after the break, so, and a lot happened there, too. So we're going to kind of mix everything in, and then we will touch on the matches on lockdown that didn't get covered on tonight's Impact after the show, or not after the show.
Throughout the show.
Well, basically after we get done talking about Impact and we touch on everything there. Then we'll take you over and we'll talk about the matches that didn't get touched on tonight's show. How about that? I can talk. I swear to God, I can actually talk when I want to and my brain, you know, wants to work, which is like 50% of the time.
50%. Anyway, let's get into the, let's go to lockdown, all right? Let's start with lockdown. Start with lockdown because...
Oh, jeez, I just explain it and you throw the whole system.
Just watch. Can you follow Miley a little bit?
No.
Because I'm going to explain something. Can I?
Fine.
Please.
Fine. Go ahead.
Well, because of how Impact starts, we should tell them how Lockdown ended. And Lockdown ended with Lethal Lockdown, Team Dixie versus Team MVP.
Yes, it did.
And the result of that match, well, played a big part in tonight's Impact. It starts with the Lethal Lockdown, and the victor was Team MVP. Now, how did Team MVP actually win this? Well, Well,
they had a little help.
They had a little help because during lockdown, Dixie Carter promised an insurance policy to make sure the job got done. Her insurance policy, well, that was Bully Ray. And, well, he came down during the lethal lockdown to become the referee when everyone was in and the big roof came down, the weapons came down. He brought in a table. He actually kind of called the match kind of impartial for most of it. But when Bobby Roode was about to put MVP through a table with the Roode Bomb, well, Bully Ray kind of got in the way of one Mr. Roode and, well, took out Mr. Roode, let's just say.
Yes, yes he did, which allowed Team MVP to pick up the victory.
Yeah.
And that's where Impact opens, because, well, Team Dixie, or Team Bobby Roode, whichever you want to term it, was not happy in the least. We open with basically the team minus Bobby Roode at this point, Rockstar Spud and EC3. You know, basically all blaming Bobby. They say it's all Bobby's fault. They then go track down Bobby, and Bobby says, you know, it's not his fault. He says to blame Dixie Carter. It's all her fault. You know, she supposedly had this insurance policy in Bully Ray, but, well, we all know how that turned out. So he said, you know, it's not my fault. It's Dixie's fault. She arranged me the whole thing with Bully. She arranged it. But, you know, since she's not here, they can't really do anything about it. So, well, I guess the blame then transfers to Bully. And they've decided that they're going to hunt him down when he gets there. And, well, it looks like Bully's in for a world of hurt.
Yeah, Bully is a marked man tonight on Impact Live.
So, uh-oh, look out, Bully Ray. We then cut to the ring where, once again, fallout from Lethal Lockdown. A triumphant MVP strides to the ring. It gives him great pleasure to tell everyone that Dixieland is officially closed!
Yay! Wasn't planned.
Just at all.
Just perfect. Anyway.
Anyway, moving on.
We crack each other up. It's fantastic, and no one's like, what? What? Anyway, moving on.
Yeah, you know, that card in Cards Against Humanity, the reference only two people will get. Yep. These two people. Right here. Anyway, moving on. He started the investment group to fix TNA, and now they can finally move forward the Dixies out of the way. You know, MVP isn't really sure what motivated Bully, basically. MVP claims he wasn't behind it. But he says that Bully will be treated fairly and equally, just like everyone else. MVP then talks about how he plans on running things. Basically, it's a simple philosophy. Motivate, validate, participate. He plans to motivate the talent to do what's right, to get them involved in the matches and in the show. He plans to validate their concerns and issues with fair competition, and, well, if the talent just isn't going to play along, then MVP definitely intends on participating.
He's going to be very hands-on.
Yes. Magnus then interrupts him, and, you know, he says MVP's principle is the most ridiculous thing he's heard of, and MVP fires a shot back, you know, basically more ridiculous than Magnus's title run.
Ooh.
Burn. I had to put that in there just because it's like, ooh, ouch, dude.
Ouch. It's burn.
Magnus then, you know, says to stop wasting everybody's time. He says that, you know, Dixie was wasting everybody's time, speaking of that, and trying to come up with this insurance policy and trying to hold on to her power, Magnus was using his time wisely. You know, basically, he made sure he was going to stay champion while Dixie, as he said, fumbled the ball. Yes, Magnus made an American football reference. It was kind of scary. Magnus goes on to say that he is more powerful than ever. Why? Well, because Magnus has recruited a certain monster to be on his payroll.
All right, now I'm going to stop you.
Okay.
All right. This is where we're going to go two back to lockdown from Sunday night. It was the World Heavyweight title Samoa Joe and Magnus. As clearly we know, Magnus is still the world heavyweight champion. They actually had a pretty good match on the show, on the pay-per-view.
They did. They really, really, really did. It was, which you would expect from these two, given their history and given their styles. They mixed very well.
They did. They did. A lot of wrestling in a cage match. They both got bloody. Magnus tried to make Joe submit to the figure four and count clutch a couple times. But Joe was able to hit the muscle buster and then rear naked choke. And he was on the verge of victory until a hand came out from underneath the ring. And then pulled Joe into the ring. Rather, under the ring. Fans weren't happy. They weren't happy whatsoever with this.
No, no, this was a little, yeah.
Then Joe came out and he was intense and went right after Magnus and started just choking him. And then the man from underneath the ring showed up. And that's that monster, that insurance policy Magnus mentioned on Impact, came out being Abyss with Janice.
Yes.
And, well, he did a number on Joe with Janice, Black Hole Slam, and then Magnus choked out Joe to retain the TNA World Heavyweight Championship.
Yes. And this is the point where Magnus brought a newly made over Abyss out. He has a new mask and a new coat.
Mm-hmm.
And I like the coat. The coat suits him very nicely. He's still got his old gear. I don't know about the mask. The mask is a little almost too Phantom of the Opera-ish for me.
It doesn't do anything for his hair.
Notice he said that.
Well, it was sticking up. What do you want from
me? I just want that to go on record. The guy made the comment about the hair.
Okay. The man has wrestled with long hair forever. And now, when it would look like it was curled up over the mask, it didn't look good. Just pointing that one out.
Yeah.
She's not disagreeing.
Oh, I'm not just like I said. I'm not a fan of the mask, especially since they, ever since, you know, because it's like they took the mask off, right?
Mm-hmm.
He took the mask off. He revealed that he's both Joseph Park and Abyss,
right?
And the reason why he became Joseph Park was because he didn't want to be Abyss anymore, and then he left to figure out, I guess, who he was or something, and now he's back. But the mask is back. It's like I almost feel like. It's like, dude, we know what you look like. Just take the mask off.
I think there may be situations where we see him with mask and without.
Yeah, I don't know. I just, like, it's a nice mask. Don't get me wrong. It would be really cool. It almost looks like one of Great Muta's masks, honestly. That's what it looked like.
Mm-hmm.
And it might have been, for all we know.
It had a Kane feel to it a little bit with the shape as well.
Yeah. Yeah, it did. It really kind of did. I mean, and Abyss has always kind of been compared to Kane.
Yeah.
But they've done enough where they've kind of split him away.
Mm-hmm. But anyway, back to... We can spend hours on masks and outfits.
Yeah. Anyway. Basically, Magnus gave Abyss a makeover. Magnus says that Abyss isn't just a monster. He's also motivated by the money. And, you know, unlike Jim Mitchell and others before him, Magnus intends to use Abyss correctly.
Because, well, he sees him as a monster and a machine.
Yes. You know, and at this point, basically, MVP didn't care. He says that they need one more person at the dance before this can really get kicked off. And that's when a injured Samoa Joe comes out. Basically, he was primed to kill someone as he was in pain.
Joe's gonna kill you.
Yeah, like, seriously, the looks he was giving them was like, oh my god, dude, run.
He was intense.
Run.
Yeah, run right now.
I was a little scared for somebody's health.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, you know, MVP was basically determined to make it right, and so he makes a match between Joe and Abyss for right now.
Right here. And right now.
That was your opening contest of the evening, Samoa Joe taking on Abyss. A solid contest.
The match was fine. They brawled a bunch. I was a little surprised they went right for the match between the two. I thought we would build up to it. But with the end result of the contest, I think we're going to have more coming between the two at some point.
Yes, I agree. Because, well, the end of the contest was as followed. EY interfered in the match. When Abyss went for Janice. Basically, the two beat each other down, which cost Abyss the match. Cost Joe the match. So Abyss picks up the victory by DQ. And after they got done beating each other down, they had a very intense stare down.
I like the dropkick coming from EY knocking Abyss down, and then they fought. Abyss, it looked like for a minute Abyss was going to lay out EY, but EY was able to get the better of the monster on this evening.
For now. Yes. After this, we cut to the backstage area where we see JB waiting for Bully Ray, and, well, up walks a familiar face, one we haven't seen in a couple years in TNA. That's right, folks. Angelina Love, one half of the Beautiful People, is back.
And she basically said, did you miss me?
Yes, we did. We missed you very much.
Yeah, we kind of did.
We see JB backstage again, where he's still waiting on Bully after the break, and then we see Willow hanging out in the rafters. Gimmick infringement.
I don't think it does. I don't think he was in the rafters that time. That time he was just backstage crying and shrieking.
I think this is the point where he was backstage.
This was the backstage one. Later is the rafters.
Yeah. But anyway, he was up in the rafters at one point. We saw a lot of Willow tonight. After this, we go to your second contest of the evening, and just wait till we get there. Just wait for it.
Yeah.
Where we have Gail Kim taking on the brand new Knockout Brittany.
But before we get into that match, the question is Gail Kim the TNA Knockout champion coming into this match?
Nope.
Madison Rayne defeated Gail Kim to retain the Knockouts title at Lockdown. They had a really good match on the pay-per-view. I was impressed.
They beat the crap out of each other.
They did. There was a spot where where Madison used wrapped her legs around Gail's head and just drove her head into the cage like multiple times. Like, holy crap! And that got Taz in like hot water because he used the term that you should not use about a female in that situation.
Taz, Thunder Thighs, no matter how you mean it, is not a compliment. If you want to compliment her, Thighs of Steel. There you go.
And I think he regretted it the moment it came out of his mouth.
Oh, yeah. He regretted it the second he said it, because you heard him stumbling for the next, minute trying to recover.
Gail tried to hit Eat the Feet, but got knocked off the ropes. Madison then hit a spear to retain the title. There was also a nice diving neckbreaker spot by Gail taking Madison off the top rope with a neckbreaker, which was pretty sweet as well. But Madison is still your Knockout champion.
Which takes us back to Impact, where again we have Gail Kim, who was not in a good mood, taking on the debuting Knockout Brittany. Brittany picks up a victory after essentially Tapa costs Gail the match. There's an explosion between Lady Tapa and Gail afterwards, where basically Gail got her butt beat.
Hey, Gail, don't mess with Tapa. She's going to kick your ass.
Yeah, she's kind of a big chick. She could take you down. Legit snap you in half. Mm-hmm. Just don't. So it looks like Gail and Tapa are no more, and Tapa's going to be moving on, and Gail is going to be moving on, possibly into a feud with each other. As far as the match with Brittany and Gail, it was solid. I mean, the biggest news is obviously the split between Gail and Tapa.
Yeah, you could tell if these girls were given the time, they could really have a good match. But it was a nice debut for Brittany in TNA. She was with the company once before, but now she is officially in the company as Brittany.
Yes. After this, we cut to the backstage where essentially Team Dixie attacks Bully after he's arrived. You have Spud playing the cheerleader. And basically, Bobby and EC3 yelled at Bully. They vow revenge before they finally take a whiteboard to Bully's head and leave him for dead.
Bobby Roode, hold on. Bobby Roode basically said, "You don't screw with me." This was an interesting beatdown. It took, like, you had EC3 and Robbie Yee and Jesse and Zima trying to beat him down. They tried. They really tried.
It wasn't until Bobby really got into it that they actually started to succeed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Bobby Roode is a dangerous mofo.
Anyway, moving on. Elsewhere backstage, we have Sonata and Muta having a heart-to-heart. It was all in Japanese. We had subtitles, which was very nice.
Yes, we did. Basically, was sort of giving him encouragement and basically, you know, praising him.
Mm-hmm.
Trying to put over Sonata as the next big deal. And legit, great mood. I believe Sonata is one of the next big stars in pro wrestling. So, it was a nice show of
support
and respect from the mentor to the mentee.
Yes, and, you know, there's a lot of expectations for Sonata and a lot of pressure, so there's a lot riding on him right now.
There is, and they were in action together at Lockdown. They teamed up with Yasu to take on Bad Influence and Chris Sabin.
Yes, and there's actually, you know, the reason why we did not get to see the Bad Influence tonight is, well, Frankie Kazarian, he took one for the team, he got misted by Muta, and because of that, Chris Daniels is having to treat his eyes because he got an infection, and so Chris Daniels is providing, you know, ice packs and dabbing the mucus out of Frankie Kazarian's eyes.
And we'll get into that during Tweet of the Week.
Oh my god, it's epic.
It is epic. But they had a solid match. Bad Influence came out as ninjas, which was awesome.
Oh, it was hilarious.
You could tell Great Muta has no knees left, but he did everything he could. It was tremendous. Every spot he did meant something. We got to see the mist a couple times throughout the match as Kazarian took the mist. But after a nice moonsault, Sonata picked the victory for Team Japan.
Yeah, poor Muta. All the respect in the world for him for coming to the States again and performing on TNA Lockdown, and it was awesome to see him, as I haven't seen a lot of him. But, oh, poor Muta. You could just tell his knees are just killing him, but it's mad respect for the fact that he got in the ring, he represented his country and his company, he did it amazingly well, and it was just fantastic to see him.
And you could tell that Sabin and Bad Influence enjoyed being in the ring with the Great Muta.
Oh yes, absolutely. That you could tell that was a pleasure for them, and they, you know, they were excited to do that. So, or at least I know Kazarian and Aries were, or Kazarian was. I'm sorry, Aries was excited to go to Japan.
Aries and Daniels were excited to go to Japan because we didn't know at the time we talked to Daniels that he would actually be fighting the Great Muta.
Yes. So we may have to ask him about that the next time, you know, we get to talk to him.
Yes.
But basically, after this, we get the bromans taking... hate that horn. Hate it so much.
Taking on Sonata.
And Tigre Uno.
Tigre Uno.
Tigre Uno. Wait, is King Kittens in the chat?
Yes.
Yes, okay. That is all you get.
By the way, since he's in the chat and I've been reading winners from Lockdown, where's the winning sheet? Come on now, buddy. Slacker.
Come on, get it together. Come on.
Anyway, moving on.
Anyway, moving on, which we kind of have to pause here because, well, Tigre Uno also had a match.
Tigre Uno did have a match with the one and only former X Division champion of the world, Manic.
Is it wrong I didn't like it?
It was the cage, wasn't it?
It was the fact that they weren't hitting each other.
That too.
I mean, no offense. I love the spots. I love when you have a luchador style where they're doing all the massive flips and everything like that. That's awesome that they can do that and everything, but it was almost, for me, too much of a good thing, in a way. Mm-hmm. And, like, literally, it's just at one point, I think, in the first 5 minutes of the match, I was like, would you just hit each other?
Yeah. Yeah, I could see that. The match was fine, but again, the cage sort of, like, their big moves are diving out of the cage. Diving out of the ring, rather, out of the cage. So that kind of hurt them, and there's a spot where they forgot to lock the door, and they almost went out the cage. But behind that, the finish, the saber-tooth splash, which is impressive by Tigre Uno.
Oh, yeah.
That was nice. Tigre Uno picked up the victory. Anyway.
So, yes. So, we have Sonata and Tigre Uno teaming up to take on the Bromance tonight, where you had Sonata and Tigre Uno pick up the victory. Mm-hmm. In a very, very nice contest. So, well, future tag team champions?
Possibly.
Just give Sonata all the gold. Just go ahead and do it.
Might as well.
Let's see. After this, we see Bully backstage. He's picking himself up, and he sort of limps off. And then elsewhere, we see... There's a lot of elsewheres in this next part, because pretty much this entire bit is all backstage.
Somewhere, so, there, over there, back there, behind there.
So basically, backstage, the whole next portion... Velvet and Madison are chatting in a makeup room, and, well, basically Madison says, what are we going to do about her? And Velvet goes, who? Madison goes, Angelina Love, and, well, Velvet's not really happy about Angelina being back. We have Bully confront the Bromance and Zima Ion in their locker room, where Bully kills the Bromance, gives Zima a wedgie, and then kills him.
Horn dead?
Yes, horn dead.
Bum, 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 bum.
See, we don't even need the soundboard.
No, we don't.
And then we come up to really kind of one of the more interesting portions of the backstage segments. We see Sam Shaw talking to Christy, in quotations.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, he feels that, you know, her coming out inspired him to defeat Ken Anderson at Lockdown, and, well, you know, he wants her to come out tonight so he can show how their relationship has gone to the next level. And he also wants her to see him end Ken Anderson. Shaw then sees the camera and backs it up. So we don't actually get to see Christy.
No.
Yet.
At this point, no, we didn't get to see Christy.
It takes an interesting turn, let's just put it like that.
Mm-hmm.
And then we see Willow's lurking in the rafters. Gimmick infringement.
Mm-hmm.
Followed by Spud and EC3 preparing for the Dixie tribute, including having a giant portrait of Dixie Carter.
And when we say giant, it was a big portrait.
Yes, it was. Again, backstage, after the break, we have Joe looking for EY. Basically, they have a heart-to-heart, and Joe tells EY basically to back off, stay out of his business. EY apologizes to Joe, but he refuses to back off. He basically says, it's my fault that Abyss is back. I turned him into this, and I have to fix it.
Mm-hmm.
But EY makes it up to Joe by saying he got him a rematch with Magnus, and EY already knows that Abyss will be there. So EY is going to be there too. Chained to Abyss. This just got kinky.
Yeah, I guess so. Yep, yeah.
Why? Why would you want to chain yourself to Abyss? No offense to Abyss, but why?
The man goes fishing. Usually without a rod. You're really going to question him?
Mm-hmm.
Alright.
There's a difference between fishing without a rod and chaining yourself to a man that could eat you.
Well, the fish could eat you, too.
Only certain ones. And to be fair, he had a spear.
He did have a spear. Anyway.
Anyway, please tell me we have audio of the next segment.
Set it up, and then we'll get to it.
Yes! Okay. I took really crappy notes on this because I was just laughing too hard at this. Basically, you have Spud and EC3 and the giant picture of Dixie come to the ring. It's time for the tribute to Dixie Carter. And they put the picture on an easel, and Spud then takes the mic.
Here we go.
Ladies and gentlemen, will you please be quiet? As we are here to mourn the loss of wrestling operations of Madam Dixie Carter. Today, myself and you, young Ethan, you people at home, and all these people behind me right now, we are collectively in mourning because
they're chanting mourning. He said they were mourning.
Because wrestling operations is now in control of an ex-convict by the name of MVP.
Do you mind? The more you chant boring, the more Spud wants to cry.
But this night is not about MVP. This night...
He's so emotional. It's tough to watch.
This night is about my queen and all of yours. This night is about how she made you feel. How she made you all feel. And how she made you, young Ethan, feel. Beautiful, supple young Ethan. How she made you feel.
Supple.
And how she made me, her beloved chief of staff, feel. That woman, you shut up! That woman picked me up from obscurity, like the baby Jesus in a manger, like the Virgin Mary, she cradled me in her arms. She made me stand here and mature as a man, and that is why I am the great man, the big man that I am today.
Big man Spud.
Madam, I have prepared a tribute to you this evening. Ethan, everybody here, and everybody sitting at home, and your chief of staff would just like to say, thank you, Dixie!
Throughout the hours of time. Alright, so now they're playing a Dixie Carter tribute. Alright.
Oh my god, Spud.
Rockstar Spud is sort of amazing at what he does. Like, truly amazing at what he does. Amazing. Like, seriously, Rockstar Spud is one of the greatest things TNA has put on television in forever. Because he's so over the top and so funny.
It was all taken away.
And here's a little bit, you can hear it in the background. It's like, he got this whole nice tribute set up for her. It was fantastic. This act is one that will be, but it's like his madam is gone.
All around this great world.
MVP. You can take away the Dixie Carter out of wrestling operations, but you can't take the Dixie Carter out of our hearts.
That line. You can't take Dixie Carter out of our hearts. That was fantastic.
Like I said, I took horrible notes on this because I was just literally sitting here watching it, laughing my ass off at it. I mean, it's just, again, Spud sold this. Hook, line, and sinker. And then you got Ethan standing there next to him, being the straight guy. And Ethan just standing there with his facial expressions was perfect in this.
Yeah, we're going to get into Ethan after this segment, but here we go. A little bit more for you.
You know, sometimes a video is just not enough. I have prepared a reading. Oh, I wish I was in the land of Dutch cotton. Old times that are not forgotten. Look away, Dixieland. In Dixieland, where I was born in, early on one frosty morning. Look away, Dixieland.
And now Rockstar Spud has an upset because, well, the new man in charge, Montel Vontavious Porter, a.k.a. MVP, well, he's coming to the ring and, well, he's sort of had enough of what's going on with this whole Dixie tribute celebration.
Yeah, but before we get to him, can we just talk about that? Like, just the absolute amazingness of Spud in this. I mean, you heard it. It's like you need to see it, too.
Because we haven't even got to the best part with Spud.
No, we have it. We seriously have it. Like, he just literally, you want to talk about hamming it up and over the top and just going for it? This segment was it. He was absolutely brilliant in it. I don't know who wrote it, but whoever did, hats off to you, because this was just so well done.
Yes, it was. Well, MVP has made his way to the ring for more of the festivities.
Well, first of all, who approved this? That doesn't even matter. This ridiculousness is over. You guys are carrying on like Dixie's like gone.
No, well, she feels gone to me.
No, she's just gone to Tennessee to shuffle some paperwork. But, Spud, I got to tell you something. After getting to know you over these last few weeks, you've, in a very weird way, you've kind of grown on me. Like a fungus or a rash or something, maybe. But, well, look, here's the deal. I have to commend you. Because through everything, you have been extremely loyal to your Madam Dixie. And that's commendable. As a matter of fact, I need on this wrestling roster men like you. Because in spite of all of Dixie's shortcomings, if you can be loyal to her, then I know you can be loyal to me and to this company.
Well, sir, I am very loyal, but I can't be a member of the roster, sir. I'm the chief of staff.
No, you see, that's just it. We don't need a chief of staff anymore. No need for a chief of staff. What I need from you, Spud, is to fulfill your contract obligations to TNA as a wrestler.
Sir, I can't be a wrestler.
You are. Didn't you win British Boot Camp?
Well, yes, sir, but look, every one of those wrestlers in the back, they're a lot bigger than me, including some of the knockouts, sir. I can't be a wrestler.
Well,
I can't be a wrestler.
Spud, I will say that more often than not, size does matter, but they don't have your heart. You've got the heart of a lion. You're fierce.
Yeah, of a lion. I'm a fierce. You told me that, sir. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You'll take on anybody,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Yeah. See,
yeah.
I motivated you there, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So now you want to participate in the match, right?
Yeah.
That's
yeah,
right. There you go. That's what I want to see.
I want to fight.
So it's official. Tonight,
with some young rookie, yeah?
Well, I'll meet you halfway. With a guy who's debuting here for his first time tonight.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Rockstar Spud will face Willow!
Oh, no!
Oh, that's no rookie. That's the alter ego of Jeff Hardy.
Well, SVP was motivating him.
C-3PO, what are you laughing at?
Oh, clever.
Look, no, you really shouldn't laugh because next week you will have an opportunity to face this man.
Now what?
Oh, yes!
Now before we get to that man, we need to back up a bit.
We do. Because, well, Spud, oh my god, he's worth his weight in gold.
He is. Some of the knockouts are bigger than him, and, well,
it's kind of true.
It sort of really is true. Now, you heard music of a person coming out. That person made his return at Lockdown. Now, as everyone's aware, last week on the show, we were talking about Kurt Angle being injured and how he possibly wouldn't be wrestling at Lockdown. And, well, he did not wrestle at Lockdown. No. He was out injured MCL, and he'll be out for a little while. Ethan Carter III came to Lockdown and issued an open challenge to anybody on the TNA roster. And I mean anyone on the TNA roster for a fight. And I'm just going to play a little bit of audio right now, and then we'll get back into it.
An Olympic gold medal, becoming the best, the only man to transition into professional wrestling. Kurt Angle is one of the greatest wrestlers of all time. But you know who else is? EC3. I am wrestling! I disagree. I'm very good. I disagree. I'm very good.
I just had to play that little bit of him. The fans were chanting, "You can't wrestle, you can't wrestle," and he responded.
Again, another talent.
Well done.
It's just, well done. Well played. Very well played.
Now, back at Lockdown, EC3, I guess, like I said, issued the open challenge, and out came, to everyone's surprise, Bobby Lashley. Like, I was legit surprised it was Bobby Lashley. It's been, like, forever since he's been there. He was there back in 2009. It's been a while.
He was there for a cup of coffee, and then he left.
He went back into MMA. So Bobby Lashley is back. Came out, gave out the slam, a spear and a power slam to EC3 at the pay-per-view. And now he's been, called out. And he'll be wrestling next week on Impact against Ethan Carter III. As that's who was the man coming to the ring where we last left Impact. So Bobby Lashley has made his big return to pro wrestling. And yeah, here we go.
No, I'm sorry, MVP, I'm sorry, but this man, Bobby Lashley, is not on the roster. I repeat, he is not on the roster, so there's no way you can motivate me to participate against a man who is not on the roster.
You know, you make a very valid point, and I thought that was an issue that needed to be corrected. So as my first act as official director of wrestling operations here at TNA, I sign Bobby Lashley.
That works.
Well,
that
there works. You go. There you have it.
Now what's happening is Rockstar Spud is getting into the face of Bobby Lashley. Spud, no. That's a bad Spud. Very bad Spud. Don't get in his face. So what Bobby Lashley's doing is he's taking the big giant poster, the photo, and smashes it into the head multiple times of one Rockstar Spud, and then Rockstar Spud grabs the photo and starts spooning the photo. He keeps rubbing it and petting the photo right on the face of Dixie Carter. He was curled up spooning the photo. That happened. That's why Rockstar Spud is amazing.
Yes. Yes, he is.
So that was that segment.
That was that segment in its glory. Again, it just, I couldn't get notes good enough to even describe what happened in that segment.
No, but that's what, thankfully, Impact Wrestling has videos available to for us in moments like that.
Yes.
Yeah.
After this, we cut to the backstage where Ethan is coming back from the ring. JB interviews him, and basically he says he is going to tear Bobby Lashley's leg apart, just like he did Kurt Angle's. But the interview is cut short when Bully Ray jumps in and kills Carter, and basically pays Carter back by smacking Carter with the whiteboard.
Yep.
After the break, we have Sam Shaw taking on Mr. Anderson in a rematch from Lockdown. And, well, before we go to Lockdown, Sam Shaw came out with Christy. It wasn't Christy Hemme. It was the Christy mannequin, at least half of her.
The top half.
The top half. Complete with really, really bad wig.
Yeah. But going back to Lockdown, Mr. Anderson took on Samuel Shaw in an Escape the Rules cage match. And before the match even started, Samuel Shaw basically was trying to professionally end it.
Yeah, okay. I want to rant on this a little bit.
You want to rant on professionally ending it?
No, because he said he was going to end it. He was going to end it all. Basically, they implied Sam Shaw was going to commit suicide.
No, but the words he used was professionally end it.
Nah. He still climbed to the top of the cage like he was going to kill himself.
Oh, he was going to jump off the cage and kill himself. I'm just going by the words they used. That's all.
Oh, I know, but still, it's what they implied, and honestly, that's not cool. That's seriously not cool.
No.
That he's playing a character. I get all of that. I can totally see the context of which they try to put it in. But that's almost a little bit...
Too much.
Too much.
They did an angle back in WWF a long time ago. Hawk was trying to jump off the Titantron. At least that was some risky jumping. Anderson...
And, you know, having Anderson come out and mock him wasn't any better.
No, it wasn't. Anderson came out and said, you should jump off something higher, like, because if you jump off the cage, it'll break your ankle or twist it or something.
Yeah, so it's like having Anderson mock it just wasn't even... Like, the whole start to the match wasn't cool.
No,
once they got into the match, it got better.
It really wasn't that great a match. The match on Impact was a little bit better. Anderson hit a nice, though, mic check onto the second turnbuckle, knocked him out. Hebner got knocked down in the match. Anderson allowed Anderson to escape through the cage. But as Christy Hemme, who came down during the match, cheering on Mr. Anderson.
Why, Christy? Why would you do that?
And why would you get close to the cage, especially near the hole in the cage? Because she got pulled through the hole where the camera looks in at. And, well, Samuel Shaw got creepy. And Mr. Anderson made the save, but then got laid out and choked out. And Samuel Shaw walked out of the cage. Victorious.
Yes. Victorious, as Christy ran off. Yeah. Christy, no offense, but you're stupid! You don't come out where you've got your stalker literally right there, even a cheer on Mr. Anderson. You certainly don't stand on the side of the ring where he's getting his butt kicked. And you certainly don't root Mr. Anderson on right next to the hole where the creepy stalker guy is laying. Brains, woman! Use them!
Mm-hmm.
I understand it's a setup, but still! Brains! I know she has them! Use them! Sorry. That's just kind of how I feel about it. Anyway, going back to Impact, we had the rematch for Sean versus Anderson, where Mr. Anderson, it was a no DQ? No, it was a street fight. It was a street fight. And you had Sam Shaw surprise Mr. Anderson before he could even do his introduction. The two fought their way to the ring, where Anderson picked up the victory, I believe, with the mic check.
Anderson grabbed the mannequin, threatened to punch it, or something. Anderson kissed the mannequin, tossed it to Shaw, who was freaked out, then hit the mic check for the victory. Anderson wins. Samuel Shaw is a creepy bastard.
I will admit, I'm kind of curious to see where this goes. They've got me intrigued, despite what I just complained about, which is purely just aesthetics for me. I'm curious to see where they continue to go with this.
Yeah, there is a curiosity factor. Still creepy.
Yeah, still completely creepy. After this, we have Angelina Love backstage. Basically, she tells us that she's back for one person and one reason only, and we're about to find out next what she has in store. When we come back from the break, we get a Creepy Willow package, we get a King of the Night package, and then we get Angelina Love in the ring, and well, she had this to say.
To be honest, there were times where I thought I would never hear that music again. But I'll tell you, it is great to be back home in TNA. And since my departure a couple years ago, my life has changed a lot, and I have definitely grown wiser. As just a young girl growing up in Canada, my father always used to tell me that you never really realize what you have until you don't have it anymore. And I never really understood what he was talking about until I left TNA. I never really realized how much I missed you, the fans, and just being able to stand in this ring. But I feel that his words were much deeper. I feel that he was talking about relationships and friendships and sisterhood. So with that being said, Velvet, can you come down to the ring, please?
Well, if you know your TNA, your Impact Wrestling history, you know all about the association.
Velvet, she about dropped her mascara. She did. Or was that an eyeliner stick? I don't know what it was.
What do you think about this?
Maybe it was a lip gloss.
Alright, you heard that little part of the music. Why'd they change the music? They had good music. That little part doesn't work. And yes, they do say a boot in Canada.
These girls are BFFs, right? They did the whole BFFs. You're my BFF. That was always the big thing, right? BFF. Oh, look at us reunite. This is great. How nice.
Reunited and it feels so good.
Velvet, I can't change the past. And there were so many things that I wanted to say to you before I left, but I just didn't. And I don't know if it was pride, I don't know if it was ego. I don't really know what it was, but just being apart from you for the last couple years, it made me realize that if it hadn't have been for you, I would have never achieved the level of success that I did in this business. For years, Angel Williams was struggling in this job and trying to find my identity and not connecting with the fans and not being noticed by management. And it wasn't until Angelina Love was born and in teaming with Velvet Sky that we created this very special union in this industry. And that union, of course, is the beautiful people. And seriously, everywhere I go, every day, whether it's an airport or the supermarket or another country, everybody's always asking, when are the beautiful people getting back together?
I'm stopping it right there. Grocery store, airport, another country. I don't know where the other country tied in at.
We'll get to that.
I think it's time to put the girl band back together.
Great idea!
Angelina, wow, I mean, I don't even know what to say to you right now. I mean, you totally caught me off guard here tonight with all of this. And I mean, we haven't even spoken in a while. And to be quite honest, I totally wasn't expecting you to show up here tonight. And I don't know, a lot has changed since you've been gone. And I feel like I've had to jump through so many hoops to almost get back where we were. And during that time, I feel I was finally able to find myself and understand who I was and what exactly it is I wanted. And most notably, I was able to capture the TNA Knockouts title for the very first time on my own. So, now that that's all behind me, I feel like I'm finally ready to move on.
So, what are you saying?
What I'm saying is there will never, ever be a bond as strong as the beautiful people had, no matter what. And I'm ready to move forward.
So, look, dude, I know that you weren't expecting any of this tonight. I just feel that sometimes you have to take a step backwards in order to move forwards. And I just feel that there's a ton of unfinished business for the beautiful people. And I say, why not now? Why not accomplish now what we didn't have the time to do before? You know, we were good, but now we can be great.
Listen. I totally hear what you're saying about everything, and I'm sorry, but I just need more time, okay? Like, I love you, girl. I love you. I just need more time to think, okay? Okay.
This was awkward.
A little bit.
Like, I mean, no offense to them and everything, but it was very, very awkward sounding, and it almost didn't feel thought through in a lot of ways.
I was honestly waiting for Angelina to do something.
Yeah. It's like you kind of kept waiting either for Angelina or Velvet, because if I remember how the beautiful people ended, it was Angelina versus Velvet.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how they broke up. And then I think Velvet picked up Madison Rain and
Lacey Von Erich
and reformed it with those two after Angelina Love left the company.
Right.
So it's like it ended on a feud, and it's something of you have Angelina basically going, well, I went out and tried to do it on my own, and I'm not cutting it, and I'm not making it, so I'm going to go back to the gimmick that, you know, obviously I was most successful at, which at this point you've moved Velvet Sky, you know, well beyond what she ever was in The Beautiful People. And she's out on her own, so it's something of, I don't know about that.
We'll have to see where it goes from there. But, again, this is another one that I was waiting for something to happen that didn't happen, but I think this is just the beginning of a story.
Oh, it's totally just the beginning of a story. But it was an awkward start to the story. I will give it that.
And they cut out of it really on, too.
Yeah, they did, because then you cut immediately to Bully wandering around backstage. And then we come back from the break where we see Spud taking on Willow. What the hell?
The alternate, the alter ego of Jeff Hardy.
What is wrong with Jeff Hardy's brain?
I don't know. All right, before we get into it's weird. It's strange. During lockdown, Willow made his debut, and they were saying Jeff Hardy without ever saying it. But he came off the top rope, and there's like four guys right there for him to hit. And he somehow landed in the middle of them. And barely hit any of them. It's like, oh, Willow. But yeah, they had a really interesting setup for his entrance. It was like, here's what's inside the crazy mind of Jeff Hardy. It's Willow. He's more dangerous. And boy, was he dangerous.
Oh my god, he killed Spud. He literally killed Spud, like... They did the whole thing in this black and white shot where you have it kind of blurred and moving, so it looks like you're literally inside Willow's mind. As this match is going on, basically Willow beat the crap out of Spud. Chairs got involved. The umbrella. There was a nut shot by the umbrella.
That's why we started off the show with umbrella.
And as Spud was writhing in pain, Willow got a chair, he got a ladder, and...
He put the chair on his leg, started smashing it, you know, kicking it, and basically trying to break his leg. And then Hardy splashed off the top of the ladder, and Spud was in lots and lots and lots and lots and lots of pain.
And then you have Hardy leave. Which... This is just me. This is purely aesthetics. But if you're going to do a different character, which I think originally it was supposed to be, and then everybody's like, oh, it's Jeff Hardy.
Everyone knew who it was.
Yeah, everyone knew who it was. It's kind of blatantly obvious who it is. They could have done a better job of covering the tattoos, making it seem like it's not Jeff Hardy. But it's something of that's obviously not the route that they chose. With that being said, it's like you can tell that it's kind of thought out, but it's kind of not, because it's like he does the hair and he does the mask and the makeup and everything, and he's got the look for it, but then it's like the jacket comes off and he's wearing a Jeff Hardy shirt. And there's no effort to cover the tattoos or anything like that.
He should have got some sort of different top for his gear.
Yeah, it doesn't feel thought out. It doesn't feel thought through.
At least it was better than the shoulder pad gimmick from the pay-per-view.
Yes.
Now, it's actually late for Tweet of the Week, but it's early for Tweet of the Week. Can I read you some tweets? I start with Rockstar Spud. This was after the show tonight. My queen at TNA Dixie dot dot dot. My leg dot dot dot. My head dot dot dot. My job dot dot dot.
Oh, poor Spud.
Poor Spud is indeed the best way to put it.
He needs a hug.
He does need a hug. So if anyone wants
to give some ice.
And some ice for his head and his leg. Poor Spud.
So moving on from here, we go to, I guess, your main event segment where they come back from break and Bully Ray is in the ring with a mic and they're chanting, you know, the crowd is chanting, Bully, Bully, Bully. Ray says that he can't believe he's hearing that. You know, he says that his career flashed before his eyes when Mr. Anderson Mike checked him into the coffin a few weeks ago on Impact. He says that he wanted to come to Impact tonight and tell everyone why he did what he did at lockdown. Well, he goes on to say that Bobby Roode and the company made things physical. And he says that if Roode had won the match at lockdown, he would have just become another Dixie Carter. No, actually, he wouldn't have, because he only had 10% of the company.
But this business does not need another Dixie Carter.
No, he says that, you know, the last thing the wrestling business needs is another Dixie Carter. He then calls out Bobby Roode to a fight, which Bobby Roode's music hits. He walks down to the ramp, to the ring. He dives in, and the two exchange punches. Bully then takes control, and he lays Bobby out. And then, you know, Bully goes outside. He grabs a table, and he sets the table up in the ring. Bully then turns around, and Roode hits him with a spine buster. Roode waits for Bully to get up and then puts him in the Roode bomb. Or I should say puts him up for the Roode bomb. Ray then gets out of it and hits a cutter. He picks up Bobby Roode and then power bombs him through the table. And we go to black with Bully Ray standing over a broken table and a broken Bobby Roode in the middle of the ring.
Yes, yes. So that does it for Impact. I will say, Impact was a lot better this week.
Impact was a lot better, but we didn't get to talk about one match on lockdown.
And which match was that?
That would be the old cowboy, James Storm, taking on Gunner in a last man standing match.
Storm had new music and gear.
I don't like the pants. Damn it, James, go back to the trunks.
He wore
the pants are no bueno.
He wore the AMW jacket.
Yes, that was nice. I liked... Seems like whenever he turns heel, that jacket comes back out.
Right. They brawl around the ring on the ramp to start the match. They used chairs. They had to steal part of the steps, like a flat part. I had no idea what was against the bottom of it. Used in the match. Storm had control for a majority of the match. Gunner made his comeback. Multiple headbutts on the top rope, followed by a superplex through two chairs, gave Gunner the victory as he was the last man standing and he had to use the chair to hold himself up.
No, Kinkins, I will not deal with the pants. I refuse to deal with the pants. But I mean, as far as the match goes, honestly, I thought this was one of the best matches on the pay-per-view just because, honestly, they went for it.
Oh, I would say this was match of the night.
Yeah, I mean, they just kicked the crap out of each other.
They did. Storm and, not Storm, Samoa Joe Magnus, for me, was going to be match of the night till the finish, but this overall match of the night, they brawled, which is what they want. You want it.
No, King Kittens, you don't make that decision. And if you do it, you're fired.
Who?
You.
I wasn't even reading the chat room, so I was about to read off the pick'em. I was getting that set up.
Oh, wait, he sent it to you? He finally did his job?
He did his job, yes. He sent it to me, yes.
So anyway, all right, fine. Read the pick'em.
between the two of us, I was 6-1, you were 5-2. The matches you got wrong were Bad Influence. Went with your heart there.
Yeah, the two I went with my heart with, I lost.
And we both got Storm wrong. So that's where we differed. We differed on Russell, the Team Japan versus Team TNA. That's where we differed, and that's why you went 5-2.
Bad Influence, you won in my heart.
Yeah, we're going to get...
So did you, James. So did you.
And we all thought it was going to win. The overall pick 'em, because we didn't do it Sunday because we weren't on the air. Vincent went 7-0. I was 6-1. So was King Kins. Lindsay was 5-2. Tommy was 5-2. Brian Pryde was 5-2. Megan went 5-1. Subway and Rob went 4-3. Chris Pierce and Edward went 4-3. And well, Mace went 4-2. Starscream Josh went 2-4. And coming up last, so we fought on Saturday, was Ace, went going 1-6.
Wow.
So we'll go through those on Saturday night on CB Radio, live right here on WildTalkRadio.com. But that's TNA Pick'em. That was our Impact Lockdown recap all in one.
Yes.
Because if we sat here and did both together, on by one, we would have been here for another 2 hours.
Yeah, it would have taken forever. So, and I'm sure this took forever too. So on that note, we are going to take our final break of the
quick.
Evening.
It's going to be quick.
Yes, a very quick break. And when we come back, we've got Tweet of the Week, and we've got our Question of the Night, and of course we have our review of tonight's exciting NXT, so you don't want to miss that. You're listening to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we will be right back. feel a little bit empty inside after The Rack goes off the air on Thursday nights? Well, don't fret, because The Rack has a little something extra for you, in the form of The Rack Extra. Join us as we review the weekly happenings with your favorite Total Divas. From start to finish, we give you our reactions to all the relationship drama, the infighting, and all the trips to the plastic surgeon's office. Join us as we get all up in that Kool-Aid of the Total Divas with The Rack Extra, weekly right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Trust me, it's simply dabomb.com.
What up, Matt?
Oh, yeah!
Celebrating 10 years of Wrestle Talk Radio.
Now, live via modern telephone technology, the one, the only Macho Man. Hey, Mach, how you doing?
How you doing? Give me a sign. I just wanted to see. I don't know what Clemens is talking about me being underused, dude. I was, like, the biggest selling high point in TNA history. And they kicked me out because they didn't want to make me the champion.
Well, dude, you were there for, like, 30 seconds, and they figured that was too much. What's up with that?
Go fuck yourself.
So that's a terrible deal.
Tune into the live special, Sunday night, March 23rd, 10 p.m. Eastern Time on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
What's up? This is WWE Superstar The Miz, and you are listening to Wild Talk Radio Network, and it is awesome.
memlanepromo.com for all your memorabilia needs. And now we're just going to jump right into Tweet of the Week.
Well, I used to be the kind of person spending time on MySpace until the spammers ended up taking over my place, and I was so bitter until I found Twitter. Ooh, a place where you can go ahead and write what you're feeling. 140 characters or less is what you're giving. My addiction starts to climb. I go to refresh my timeline, 'cause I won't stop tweeting. No more, no more. It cannot wait, I'm sure.
So I'm assuming I'm going first?
Yeah.
All right, this is an entire conversation between Adam Rose and Tyler Breeze.
Okay.
Adam Rose starts it out. Thank you, my happy little rosebuds. Let the rosebud revolution begin. WWE NXT, we are taking over. Tyler Breeze responds with, watch yourself, Rose. Adam goes, who are you? And Breeze simply says, how dare you? Adam Rose then goes on to say, this boy Adam is blushing. My rosebuds, you have warmed my heart tonight. Tyler Breeze goes, rosebuds versus wannabreeze. Adam Rose goes, why such a grumpy pants? Hashtag don't be a lemon, be a rosebud. And Tyler Breeze goes, my pants aren't grumpy, hashtag gorgeous pants. This is happening, guys. This is happening.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I got.
That's all you got. All right, we're going to start with Christopher Daniels and been teasing all night. Let's see. Horrible news due to heinous acts of the Great Muta at Lockdown. The hashtag bad influence will not be at Impact events this coming weekend, this week. At Frankie Kazarian has been diagnosed with ocular vapivertes. And I'm pledged to stay by his side, dabbing his eyes with aloe compresses. I know the At Impact Wrestling faithful are disappointed, and rest assured, bad influence is more distraught than all of you. We hope to take part in the Thank You Dixie tribute, spearheaded by Great Britain's answer to Dick Van Dyke, Rockstar Spud. But we feel most horribly for the fans who must now endure Impact events scientifically proven to be 37% less entertaining in our absence. Keep in mind, as we petition for the Great Muta to be barred from a TNA ring pending further investigation of his evil mist, Band Influence is funding scientific study by the Mayo Clinic on the corrosive qualities of the mist. So, ladies and gentlemen, let's get hashtag Band the Mist trending worldwide and let the MVP know that you, like us, want to protect and preserve our roster and future. We are Band Influence and we approve this message. Hashtag Band the Mist, Band the Mist, Band the Mist. It continued on today. It really did. As you watch Impact Wrestling, please show your support for your favorite wrestler, Frankie Kazarian, by getting Band the Mist trending. Thanks to the support of the millions of Frankie Kazarian fans, Band the Mist is the number one trend in the world. Your voices have been heard. Frankie Kazarian tweeted, Thank you for supporting hashtag Band the Mist. I'm humbled and in tears. Either from emotion or because I've had poison mist in my eyes for days. Daniels followed up with, more aloe compresses on the way, partner. Hashtag save Frankie, Band the Mist. There's that. Austin Aries replied to a bunch of people, including Frankie and Sabin and stuff. I've heard the mist isn't even vegan, so I concur, Band the Mist. Now we'll get into some other tweets, shall we?
Yes.
This is from WWE Universe. Insult the vest. Meh. Insult the skinny jeans. Insult the aviators. Grr. Insult the tattoo. It's go time. Hashtag SmackDown. Gus Ramsay. I'll buy in a resurrection as a show if they do an episode where Mark Sanchez's career comes back to life. Hashtag Jets. Heel Ziggler. How good is this video game? Eminem does the music for its commercials. Yeah. That good. For hashtag ruin a band, Daft CM Punk. Chewy at 406 North Lane goes, best sign in line at WWE Raw Memphis by far. Hi, Mom. I'm white trash. Brilliant. Andrew Goldstein, Keith Richards is releasing a children's picture book. It's Scratch and Snort. Al Snow, scientists have found that sniffing rosemary can improve your memory by up to 75%. Unless she wakes up and hits you over the head.
Ouch.
Not SportsCenter. Breaking! The Browns have reached a deal with Tim Tebow to make him the team starting. Yeah, right. Even they aren't that stupid. Not Bill Walton. There goes Wade falling to the ground again. Safe to say, Wade has been filmed on his back more than Kim Kardashian. Filthy Celebrities is the hashtag for the next couple. Will Wheaton, William Shitner. Jimmy Carteris, George Legas. Jimmy Carteris, Kim Kardashian. Yeah, I said it. Andrew Goldstein, Diarrhea Perlman. And Jimmy Carteris goes, Chubby Packer. The fake ESPN goes, Eric Decker leaves Peyton Manning for Geno Smith. That's like leaving Kate Upton for Honey Boo Boo's mom. And finally, all I'm going to say tonight is, at RealBully5150 owes me a new pair of Calvin Klein underwear, size medium. And don't buy them at an outlet.
And that, ladies and gentlemen, was Tweet of the Week. So now, after that marathon session, we're going to, you know, transition out of TNA and back over to WWE, where we're going to talk about tonight's exciting Impact. NXT. Or not Impact, NXT. Good Lord, I can't talk.
Yes, we're here to cover NXT because, well, I did not take a shot.
Air simultaneously.
They do. Yeah, there were no shots of the Cowboys. That's true. What happened to your defense? Let's plan that one out. Anyway.
Yeah, didn't somebody go somewhere?
DeMarcus Ware is no longer part of the team. He went to the Broncos. He went to a winner.
Ooh. Anyway. NXT opens tonight.
Hold on. I was going to be good, Kinkinch. You're the one who brought it up. Let me.
All right. Enough. You pick on each other after the show.
Saturday before CB Radio. It's called good Cards.
Good lord.
Anyway, moving on. Let's get Kinkinch,
you didn't even get to hear me squee over the Wyatts.
Oh, we shouldn't even put that on the show for my. We'll talk about it another day. Anyway.
Yeah, we'll talk about it on Saturday. Yes, I got to go to a live show. I got to see Wyatts in person. Good God, Eric Rowan is a mass of humanity.
That being said, let's get into NXT. All right, so NXT opened with the women's champion herself, Paige. We should note the announced team for the evening: Tom Phillips, Alex Riley, and Jason Albert. Yes, Jason Albert, formerly known as Tensai, and A-Train and Albert. He's Jason Albert. So it was Paige and Sasha Banks one-on-one with Charlotte and the stick figure of Samurai. Just tremendous. Paige had early control before Sasha Banks took control. There was a nice little chokehold that Sasha was using. She had Paige's arms, crossed and pulled back. Yeah, it was a nice submission hold she had on her. Paige was able to make her comeback and, hit the Scorpion Crosslock.
This was a nice match.
It was a great match. Paige hit the Scorpion Crosslock, which is amazing, to pick up the victory. Charlotte attacked Paige after the match, and then the guest of the night, of the evening, Natty, made the save.
Yay, Natty! Which you can hear her in the archive later. Because, Natty Neidhart, rat guest.
There was a problem with Zima. I talked about not having issues with Graves, saying the issue was done, and talks about how Graves likes to run his mouth. We saw Mojo Riley getting hyped in his locker room. I think he's just getting started in NXT, and we had the Ascension in action.
Again, a nice... Very, very nice match between the Ascension and Travis Tyler and Cal Bishop. The Ascension are incredibly impressive.
This was a domination by the Ascension. That's all it was.
I'm actually kind of waiting for them to either have a credible tag team, because I'm not sure if they have any, to go against the Ascension, or if they bring someone in to...
Shield.
To face them.
You know that's coming. An established team is coming to take that, to square off against Ascension.
Yes. Oh, yes. I'm perfectly aware of this. But, yeah. I mean, even in squash matches, the Ascension are incredibly impressive. Yeah, I still want to see that Coat Connor.
Mm-hmm.
Looking at you.
Cal Bishop put up a little bit of fight, but Tyler... took the fall for the team as he got taken out with the Fall of Man for the victory. Ascension picked up the win.
Yes.
We then had Renee Young come down as the guest commentator for Mason Ryan and Leslie Blake. Leslie Blake, everyone, is a real cowboy from San Antonio, Texas.
Ding!
They had a more competitive match than I thought they were going to have.
Mason Ryan still looks like Batista.
Which they sort of were channeling as well.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So it was a little bit of a competitive match, which I wasn't really expecting, but we had a big boot by Mason Ryan and a big slam driving Leslie Blake into the mat. So Mason Ryan picked up the victory there. This was a solid match between the two.
Yes. Yes, it was. Very solid. A nice display of talent.
This is...
And then we get the segment of the night because we got one of our favorite NXT divas.
And if you thought we went on a tangent about the WWE Network, Bayley went on a tangent about the WWE Network in her promo. Until
she's adorable.
She is. She's awesome. She was like, you can watch the WWE Network. I watch it all the time when I'm at NXT. Bayley is awesome. Sasha and Charlotte and the stick figure show up. Bayley at one point. They did a little bit of trash talking to Charlotte, and Sasha Bayley grabbed the stick figure and did a summary impression, talking about how she stunk like cheese.
Yep.
In walked again, rock guest Natty Neidhart. She sort of butted up to Bayley, traded words with Charlotte. Natty needs to work on her trash talking a little bit. Charlotte talks about how that Natty's just a reality star whose big claim is butt dialing Stephanie McMahon. Natty then talks about how he heard stories from her uncle that, well, Brett beat up Ric Flair multiple times. And we have a stare down between all four ladies. Great segment. Bayley is awesome.
Again, Bayley is adorable. Mm-hmm. Just, that's all you need to know.
Yes. Then we had Xavier Woods take on Alexander Rusev. Xavier Woods didn't come out as all hyped as he usually does. He was very serious. Before the Rusev could come out, Tyler Breeze showed up, talked about how they aren't friends, but after what happened in NXT Arrival, Breeze wants to get his revenge on Rusev. And basically wanted Woods to step aside so he could get his revenge, and, well, Woods wasn't having any of it. Out came Lana and Rusev. Before they get to the ring, Breeze attacks Woods, and then Breeze leaves. So Woods is injured, so what does a man like Rusev do? He picks on the injured man and tore him apart.
Pretty much, yeah. Very, very, very dominant victory by Alexander Rusev.
Woods tried to make a comeback, but was not to be. There was a bad-looking Samoan drop where he really dropped Woods.
Yeah, he did.
It really wasn't. It just looked awkward. But he made Woods humble tap out in the camel clutch.
Yes.
So Rusev, again, continues on a roll.
He does. After this, we come back and we find out that Sheamus, Bella, will be on the show next week. So Lord only knows what kind of trouble he's going to get into.
Mm-hmm. Then we go backstage for Adrian Neville. Was going to talk, but really didn't talk as the cheesy one, the cheesy as Velveeta, Bo Dallas shows up. And basically said when he gets his rematch, this nightmare will finally be over. Bo says this needs to end now as his Bo-leavers are sick of Neville's face and his flips.
No, you missed the line of the night.
Okay, what was the line of the night?
You know, this terrible nightmare can finally end. Thank goodness for his Bo-leavers who have been the wind beneath his wings.
The wind beneath his wings. Okay, I missed that line.
Cheesier than Velveeta, and I love it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I have an idea I gotta tell you later. Okay. Bo is sick of him, basically. Bo says he is out of his league. Then Neville stop Bo, and we find out the match is in 2 weeks.
Yes, his Bo-leavers are sick of Adrian, and they are sick of his face, his ears, and his flips.
Yes.
And then they slap each other.
Mm-hmm.
Play nice, boys. Play nice.
So in 2 weeks on NXT, it will be Bo Dallas and Adrian Neville for the title. Then we get to our main event of the evening, Colin Cassidy versus Bo Dallas. Bo took his time getting into a real fight with Colin. Bo took control for a little bit, but Colin has some power to him.
Mm-hmm.
When we came back from the short break, Bo was in control, and he really used the old Randy Orton chin lock to his advantage. Cassidy was able to make a comeback on Bo, but in the end, Bo hit a big boot and a DDT for the victory to make all the Bo-leavers happy. So that
definitely wasn't soft.
No, it wasn't. No, it really wasn't. It was a fun little show tonight, NXT.
It was a fun little show tonight, even though it would make me cry. I would still love to see NXT get extended out from an hour to 2 hours. I know they can't do that because they pre-tape, and it would kill us trying to do Impact, but
I don't know if 2 hours... I think 2 hours may be a little too much. I think for them,
hour and a half.
90 minutes would be really good.
Yeah. Because I liked the matches that they put on, but you can tell that with the way they booked it tonight, that they tried to fit more into it than they have in the last couple weeks. And so it felt a little rushed in some cases. And it's like, it was nice, it was good, but at the same time, it's like, it always leaves me wanting a little bit more, which is what it's supposed to do. But it's like, again, I wish it was just a little bit longer, just so we could get
there wasn't,
more people.
There wasn't that, and there wasn't that big standout match slam.
No, there really wasn't. I mean, it was kind of, basically solid the whole way through.
Yeah, we were establishing talent tonight, not showcasing a big match.
And that's the thing I think we're going to see for the next few weeks, possibly even the next couple months, is because they have to introduce the whole roster to everybody that's on the actual television show, and they're getting there, but they have to sort of let the audience that's never seen them see them. Mm-hmm. And so we got Bo Dallas again this week. We got Adrian Neville again this week. We got to see Charlotte again this week. So we're getting some repeats that they're mixing back in that we were introduced to at NXT Arrival and then last week. But we're also getting, people like Big Cass. We're getting Bayley. We finally got Bayley this week. Mm-hmm. Yay! Sasha Banks. That kind of thing is starting to all... They're starting to introduce new characters and mix in with the old ones so we all become familiar with them. And then I think once they get that established, then they'll start rolling. Because I think they realize that they have to slowly introduce everybody to the audience.
Right.
Otherwise, it's not going to work. If you just throw all this talent out there, it's like, wait, what? Because if you notice when they bring people in, they kind of do a little preview on them and tell you who they are and what they're about and all that kind of stuff.
And they do that quite well.
They do. They do that very well. Mm-hmm. But overall, I liked it. It was a good show.
It was a solid hour of wrestling. That's what you want.
Yeah, I like that they've mixed more backstage segments because at least last week, and I think really at NXT Arrival, it was a lot of wrestling, and there weren't as many backstage segments, and there were a few more this week, which was a nice break, because it's like if you just go match, it's just like, oh, Lord, I need a break. Mm-hmm. So it was nice that you had more of those breaks in between.
Right. Now let's go to question of the night.
All right. Well, what is our question of the night?
Our question of the night is, if you could drop the WWE superstars into a cartoon, which cartoon would you drop them into? South Park, we had Flintstones, which is coming. There was Yogi Bear as well.
Okay.
And that was interesting. So those were the main responses we got from it. What about you? Where would you drop them?
Disney.
Disney what?
I just want a Disney-fied version of WWE.
Okay. I was going to say the Jetsons, because I just imagine them trying to use the futuristic stuff, trying to fit into the small cars.
That'd be funny.
Kane trying to get into a car, yeah.
Yeah. But now can we talk about it?
All right. That was the little setup. Bayley and AJ as Disney princesses. Yes.
Yes.
100 times yes. Happen. Yes, it does. All right. Now, the main reason for this question is because we were able to see an advanced copy of the upcoming release film of Scooby-Doo WrestleMania Mystery Adventures.
Oh, my God.
It was bo cheesy.
It was so damn cheesy. Like, if you didn't realize Scooby-Doo is one gigantic drug trip... Like, this will just completely cement it for you. I mean, it's just like, it's so damn cheesy, you can't not watch it.
Alright, we're not going to spoil the movie for you, because that would be wrong.
No, we're going to spoil one thing in the movie.
Okay, one thing. So, before you do it, let's make it official.
Spoiler alert!
It takes place in WWE City. They have their own city in the cartoon, which it's just like, oh my God, that is ridiculous, and yet I want this at the same time.
Royal Rumble ribs. McMahon has a chicken place.
And Tombstone Tacos!
Yeah. And there's there's one line in the movie. AJ is with Scooby and Shaggy, and well, she's kicking their ass. And well, Scooby and Shaggy want to be saved, and the line was, AJ is as scary as Kane, just with lipstick.
Yep.
Something and to that effect.
That's pretty apt. But yeah, this is, it's corny, it's cheesy, it's stupid, it's not meant for adults. You can tell that. It's meant for kids, but it's something of, it's just absolutely hilarious. Miz, in the beginning of the movie, kind of makes it.
And Sin Cara stole the show.
Yeah, you can tell when this made who they were really pushing and how things have kind of changed, because your main wrestlers in it are Cena, Hunter, Sin Cara, AJ, Brodus, Miz, and Santino Marella. And then you have cameos where Kane kind of talks, but he only has a couple lines.
Kane goes, grr.
Yeah, he goes grr arg a lot. And then you have cameos by Jerry the King Lawler, by Jimmy Hart. Oh, God, who else?
Sergeant,
is that it?
Sergeant Slaughter.
Sergeant Slaughter's in it. Yeah, I mean, they did a really nice job of mixing it all in. And one thing I really, really liked about the movie, and I told Rock this, was towards... One was the way that they portrayed AJ, because they did a really nice job portraying her as a very strong female character. Mm-hmm. And there's a point in the movie where they actually are showing fans watching the WWE product, and they showed four chicks sitting on a couch together watching wrestling, which I know nobody really cares about that, but to me that's really big, because that's an acknowledgement, at least in the film, of the female fan base of the WWE.
Oh, yeah.
And also with the way that they have Velma and Daphne handle the whole situation, again, it's an acknowledgement of the female fan base in WWE, which is really cool to see, because WWE actually doesn't really acknowledge their female fan base. Mm-hmm. They kind of do and they kind of don't. They definitely don't market towards them, mm-hmm. although they're starting to with shows like Total Divas. So that's really neat to see. That is something of, hey, yeah, we know chicks watch wrestling. We know chicks like wrestling. So we're going to acknowledge that in this film. And I know that's way deeper than it was ever meant to be, but to me that just was, like, really cool. Because it's like, hey, it's four chicks watching wrestling. That's awesome.
Correct.
So yeah, so I wouldn't recommend getting the advanced copy. I would actually, if you want to see it, I would wait for it to come out and actually support the product, support, you know, Warner Brothers Films, all that good, happy stuff. Support them.
Comes out.
Buy it.
Buy it. It comes out on March 25th.
But yeah, it's a good little watch. You will sit there. If you're like me, you will be entertained just because it's so corny and it's so cheesy that you can't help but sit there and giggle at it like an idiot.
That's what we did for 90 minutes.
Yeah, I literally sat here for 90 minutes and giggled like an idiot at the entire thing, because I'm just like, oh my god, it's so stupid, but it's awesome.
So there you go.
So that's our review of it. We kind of had to figure out a way to work it in the show, you know, because of the supposed leak and everything. So on that note, I think we need to go.
We do need to go. And this is where we have to bring up what's happening next week.
We do. Yes, our line of guests continue. You know, we've brought you the likes of Bad Influence, Austin Aries, Natty Neidhart, and now I'm really, really, really super excited. At least the art geek in me is very, very excited, because we have secured an interview with the one and only Rob Schomburger, who you might know is the guy that does all the wrestling art. He's got stuff up on WWE auctions right now for sale. He's going to be participating in WrestleMania Access. I am super excited to talk to him. I'm going to sit there and pick his brain. I hope he's okay with that. Because, you know, the artist in me just really wants to talk to him. So, again, y'all, we're talking to him next week. Expect a long interview, Kane Kittens. I am so sorry. Up front, I'm just so sorry. So, yeah, everybody tune in next week for Rob Schromberger.
Which can be heard live 11 p.m. Eastern right here on Wild Talk Radio and RockRadioShow.com. Saturday night is midnight-ish. It is CB Radio, the weird, the wacky, the unusual. You never know what will happen. And now Subway's on Twitter. Follow him on Twitter at XQuerSubway. And he did his first ever live tweet on air on Saturday. So you can only imagine what he's been up to so far. Sunday night, WTR Sunday night returns live, Wrestle Talk Radio. And as you've heard throughout the show, and you'll continue here for the next, I don't know, 10 days or so, commercials, little teasers for WTR 10, which is March 23rd. Because 10 years of Wrestle Talk Radio, let's see, 10 years.
Good Lord.
Remember when we started listening to it back in the day?
I do remember when we started listening to it back in the day, and I'm really eager to see what you and Tim have up your sleeves for WTR 10.
So we're going to come up with stuff. You've already seen some of the clips throughout this show that I put together today. You can follow the show on Facebook at facebook.com/WrestleTalkRadio. Follow the Twitter at WTR Sunday Night. Try to get Wrestle Talk Radio, but there is one too many letters. So at WTR Sunday Night on Twitter. Follow it, like it, be a part of the experience, WTR10. Use the hashtag WTR10 as well. But yeah, the show Tim created 10 years ago on this month. We're going to celebrate it coming soon. Monday night, we'll be back for another edition of the Raw Post Show live at 11:30 p.m. Eastern. You can then, again, we'll be back next Sunday, next Thursday night. God, my days are confused. So Thursday night for the Rack. Follow us on Twitter at Wild Talk Radio, at WTR_Rack, Facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network, Facebook.com/WTR The Rack. Follow CB Radio at Facebook.com/CigaretteButtsAndBananas and Twitter.com/CB Radio WTR. Check out WTRProductions.net and coming soon, WrestleTalkRadio.com, and go check out WildTalkRadio.com/WTRRiffs, and you can catch the WrestleMania series we did last year. I'm good.
You have way too much crap to plug.
And this is all off the top of my head. Click the Google ad. Anyway, there you go.
Yeah, click the Google ads. So, alright, you can follow me on Twitter at LinsWard, LNSWRD. You can go to my website, psychwarddesigns.com. Check that out. If you click the Contact Us section of my website, there's a link to my Redbubble store. If you like my artwork, if you would like to purchase my artwork, it is for sale on my Redbubble.com store. Just please go check it out. To people who have recently purchased, thank you so much. I greatly appreciate your patronage, and I hope you buy again soon. If you like my artwork and you just want to check it out, you can go to Behance.net/LinceWard, same as the Twitter, and most of it is available for your viewing pleasure. Also, please check out RackRadioShow.com, WildTalkRadio.com, check out our fine sponsors, MemorabiliaLane.com, PWMania.com, and TNAAsylum.com, the haven for TNA fans.
Before you close out, I want to send a quick little shout-out to Andy over at PWMania. He's heading to WrestleMania.
Oh, I can't wait to hear your report, dude. Pictures. Lots and lots and lots of pictures, please.
He's heading over to the States for WrestleMania. He's going to have some fun. But yeah, I'm going to give him a shout out tonight. So there you go.
Yeah. Have fun. Safe travels, man. You're going to love it. Mania is a blast to go to. And remember, pictures. So, and of course, you know, listen to The Rack. Every Thursday night, 11 p.m. Eastern. Remember, next week, Rob Schromberger. Check it out. And, of course, listen to all the other fine programming on the network, because we all work very hard, and we do this for free. So, for Rock, I'm Lindsay Ward. You can listen to The Rock right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we will see you next week. Bye!